In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in this struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Who's up to here? Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, guys. Welcome back to another Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. This is episode number 91. Today, I am Unicron.
And hello, everyone.
And I also have Megamus here.
What's up?
And tonight, we are going to be talking about some stuff that most people hate. Just first off, I do want to plug our sponsor, Capture Prey. Great toys, great service, great prices, CaptureProey.com. Go there for a lot of your third-party needs. He does have a few vintage things, but he's tending to get out of that. But we have Megamus here to be able to take care of that stuff for you.
You know it.
And also, I do also want to plug something else that I put out there. We are on tftalk.net, but I also have another Facebook group that has been brought up. And this is for the entire community out there that hasn't done this. And I already put a vlog up. I created a Generation 2 Facebook page for everybody. So go there, check it out. We'll consistently keep dumping what we can on there, picture-wise and such, in order to really enhance your guys' knowledge to get this stuff out there for those who don't know. But this is a G2 cast, so if you don't like G2, I'm sorry.
Just make sure when you go to that group that you wear sunglasses.
Yes.
You got to wear glasses. I mean, it's pretty bright.
Got to wear shades, man.
It's pretty bright.
Yeah, it's very bright, but this is doing gimmicks right also. We'll get into that in a little bit. But I wanted to let you guys know that this is what we're going to be talking about tonight. We are talking about basically the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the awful, and whatever else you want to call it. So let's just go ahead and find out what you guys absolutely – okay, first off, favorite thing out of G2. One of you guys have to have something. Go ahead, Unicron.
My favorite is probably the Optimus Prime mold, the Tanker Optimus Prime. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that mold. I just really like the way he looks, big, bulky shoulders, and he looks big and rough and tough and just really cool looking in the Tanker and all. That's probably my favorite mold out of G2 that I really enjoy.
Yeah, the light-up gimmick and everything really just helps.
Yes, the light-up, the sounds, his sword would light up. I got this version, which is the Nemesis version. None of that works on this version, unfortunately. But man, it's just one of my favorite molds. I just really love the way he looks in both truck mold and robot mold. Just an awesome looking figure all around.
That's
another figure or character.
Yes.
That has stood the test of time because, he was in RID, if I do remember correctly.
Yes, this is actually the version from RID.
Right.
But
that is Laser Prime.
Mm-hmm. Laser Prime.
That is Nemesis in the RID, which is many years later.
Yes. And so everyone knows, I know a lot of people, there's a big debate. This is actually Nemesis Prime. This is not Scourge. I don't know if you can make out the detail. His Autobot symbol's upside down on the shoulders. He's not a Decepticon. And, of course, he comes with the – I don't know if y'all can see it.
Black discs?
Yeah, but it has the –
It has the Autobot logo. Symbol.
Yeah, yeah, it's got the logo
the G2.
On.
Yeah, he's actually got the G2 Autobot logos. Mm-hmm. And then on his trailer, he doesn't have Scourge on it. He has – can y'all make it out?
Mm-hmm. Black Convoy.
Yep, Black Convoy, Nemesis Prime.
That's Nemesis
Prime. Yes, and this, love this thing, man. This thing's just awesome. One of my favorite modes of all time, to be honest with you.
You know, and then they went ahead and they've done the Nemesis Prime many, many times. including the subscription figure.
Yes, but
which in my opinion, I mean, Scourge is different.
Yeah.
Scourge is different than Nemesis Prime. They're just two different things.
Yes, they are. In a cartoon, they were different. He was Scourge in the American version. I haven't seen the Japanese version. I don't know how they portrayed him as in the Japanese version of R.I.D. But I know in the American version, he was just Scourge. He was supposed to be like a, I guess, Nemesis type, but that wasn't his official name in canon in the American version.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the Car Robots, and I don't remember exactly how they portrayed him. But I do know that the Car Robots is, it does have a little bit of a different story arc and the character design. So
yeah,
a lot of that didn't translate to the same way it did here in the U.S. Okay, Magnus, what's yours? Your favorite G2 character, creature, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I'm going to go with the laser rods. And I'm trying to figure out which one I like the most. But Electro was pretty neat. Even though, and I know we're going to get into it later with the GPS and all that, but I just like the little pickup, and I love the light up feature with the sword and all that. So the laser rods were definitely my favorite.
Is there any advice you can give anybody about the laser rods, like when you're actually going out to purchase them, other than Electro's obvious issue?
Well, I could tell you that if you find one and it doesn't have the sword, it better be cheap. It better be real cheap, like a couple bucks cheap. The sword is the hardest part, of course, and then making sure the electronics work. And I'm not talking about just because the batteries are dead or whatever. You look for, like you do with any other electronic, you know, transformer with electronic, look for corrosion. You look for wear and tear and see if it's going to actually work if you just, you know, throw some batteries in it. But for those, without the swords, I mean, they're only worth a few bucks. Those swords are pretty tough to find. So my advice would be either find them complete, or if you're going to get them without the swords, you don't care about the swords, you better get them dirt cheap.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I actually didn't pay very much for mine. My Volt is the only one that actually has his sword. But I need to get the other swords for the other ones. I do not have an Electro, sadly, because it's a big pill to swallow because of the issues that one has. But I am actually really into those laser rods myself. But my favorite when it comes to all the G2 stuff was the Combiners. I love the Combiners. Even though Superion here is notorious for having an issue with this guy here,
I mean this guy right still, here?
Yeah.
This
guy right here? Yeah. Yeah, that guy. That guy.
That guy.
Although, you know, if you think about it, it's not too bad of a combiner. It's identical. And the great thing is, there is mold. There's like reed molding on Silverbolt. Silverbolt actually has, on both of his back wings, has a area we can plug on these little bitty rocket launchers. And the great thing is when you get these, the rocket launchers, they're pretty powerful. I mean, I've shot these things clear across the room. They're great. They're like, that's the way a missile launcher should work nowadays. Get on it, Hasbro and Takara and all you other toy makers out there. Quit being wusses and give us launching missiles, because my six-year-old loves to launch stuff across the room.
I mean,
as any other kid.
Who doesn't?
Right.
Who doesn't like it? Come on. Be it nerd or whatever.
Exactly. And to let you guys know, the helmet on this is not gold plastic. It is a black piece that has gold painted on it. So you don't have to worry about that. But like I said, I mean, I'm really into the combiners. I'm not going to go pull every combiner I got off the shelf, because I got some that are customs as well that I've done. But my Bruticus, he's buried, and so is my G2 Devastator. Sadly, I don't have the orange one, and I don't have the European one. I'm going to be working on getting those. But they are really cool. I like the idea that you can take these and combine them with your G1. And what's crazy, like when we talked, when we touched base about RID, well, you got all those Bruticuses. Well, every one of those, you can swap those booms and stuff with all these. So it's all backward compatible, and that's one big reason why I absolutely loved, you know, the G2 line and a lot of the stuff that come out of it. But like I was saying, the combiners are what really hits home for me because I love these guys.
Well, what you're going back to is Scramble City.
Exactly.
Any of the Scramble City will interact with each other. And we're talking about Japanese G1 and G2. They're all the same because they're the same ports.
Right. And then
I'm pretty sure, I mean, didn't you tell me that some of the newer third-party items, they're even doing the same ports?
Yes.
To where they will connect.
Yes.
And third-party items are connecting. So they're trying to make it so it's more interactive between even genres.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I think that's cool. You can make whatever you want. You can do, you know, a Superion with Bruticus limbs and a third-party limb and whatever, and make your own.
Exactly, and that's the great thing. And I do know, you know, we've talked about knockoff stuff before, and I have seen KO versions of all the G1 scrambles, but the only G2 one we ever catch is the Devastator. And most of the time, that Devastator that you guys find at Big Lots now has been completely nixed of 90% of its articulation on the smaller robots, and it doesn't hold together at all. It's made of shampoo plastic, and it's horrible.
Yeah, but let's face it. I mean, even a legitimate yellow G2, it's not going to cost you that much. I mean, the price difference and the quality is going to be better. If you want a legitimate G2, go with the yellow. If you want to spend a little bit more and have something that your neighbor doesn't have, you know, get one up on the Joneses, whatever you want to call it, go with the orange. The orange was definitely harder, but the yellow, you can get that one. Actually, in my opinion, you better be able to get it cheaper than a G1.
Oh, yes.
Because it's a lot more common.
Yes, I myself, I spent, you know, roughly about $100 or so on my G1 Devastator. Wasn't
mine. And that's a fair, legitimate price for a really nice tight one.
For a G1.
A G1, $100 to $125.
Now my G2 that I got him for approximately $45.
There you go. I was thinking like $50.
You get $50, weapons, everything.
You get it with everything, and it's nice and crisp. And there you go. And you don't have to go out and get your dollar store Big Lot special. And that thing's going to cost you like $20-$25 anyway. And the quality is not as good. The gimmicks are not there. The extra detail is not there. So definitely, you know, if you're wanting one, go with the yellow. I wouldn't pay more than $50 and you'll get one.
Right. And that's the big thing. A lot of people don't understand. It's like, oh, well, why would I want to go out and spend, you know, close to $60 for a G2 Devastator when I can get one off the shelf in Big Lots for like $15 or whatever? And it's like, it's the quality, guys, literally the quality. The quality of the plastic is not there. And half of the transformation gimmicks are completely scrapped. They're like solid pieces. And I think we touched base that one time when Werewolf was on. We were talking about his miniaturized version of his G1.
Oh, yeah. Now, wait a minute now. If you're talking about different sizes, you know, you're talking about a whole new ballgame. Whole new ballgame. You want it smaller? Okay. You want it bigger? I hate to tell you this, but if you're going to jumbo size, you're going to pay a little bit. But that thing is awesome.
Right.
Different conversation. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well, I know what you're talking about. There is a KO version of Bruticus that is literally like this right here is about the size of like Vortex. I mean, Vortex is the size of Superion here by himself. It's a very, very large one. It's very rare. It's Korean, I believe. And it comes in like a humongous box. It has the chest piece, instead of it being black with all the tampled camo, it is chrome with tampled camo. It is a sick looking piece. It's very, very, you know, that to me, that's one of the coolest oversized knockoffs I've ever seen. It's one of the best, too. And that's why
you caught me off guard. You caught me off guard, but I found a pick. All right, now this thing, and the problem is I wish I would have put something to scale with it. It is freaking huge. It is huge.
Well, you guys can tell.
And that is in G2 colors. It's massive.
Well, you guys can tell. That's sitting on the floor, guys, and that's a cabinet behind it. That's how big this thing is. And it fills up that box.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, the big thing is, like we were saying, you know, when it comes to the combiners for G2, get a legit one. Get a legitimate one or go and find this oversized thing.
Okay, I have to plug this only because there's so much controversy over this. That's mine. I picked that up, and I picked it up at the first year of Slagicon. Which, you know, there's a lot of controversy over that. We're not going to go into it. But I got this thing for less than $100.
Really?
That's
wow.
It was there. This thing goes for anywhere from, and sit down, hold on to your hats, folks, $800 to $1,000.
Wow.
That's what these things command. Come on, I'm sorry, command. They're so hard to find. But they're so awesome. When you put them up next to Fort Max, they tower. I mean, they're amazing. They're very hard to find. And I found that at Slagicon for less than $100. So good deals can be found at the weirdest places. So
yeah, so the you guys out there that are really, really, really hungry for going out and trying to get a hold of that rare, obscure item when it comes to, you know, some things, don't always just rely on eBay. I've seen some high quality stuff come off of iOffer as well. And sometimes you get that stuff pretty cheap. But you guys can hold out for conventions if you possibly can. I do know that there's several comic shops, stuff like that, that do the same. And like I said, I mean, sometimes if worst case scenario, I mean, we are on tftalk.net. If you're really in the business or in the, you know, realm of trying to find something, you can go hold of one of us and we might be able to help you out with trying to find that particular item as well. But when it comes to G2, I mean, there's so many different things. Like, not just the combiner gimmick. Not just missile-launching gimmicks, because almost everything came with a missile launcher then. They had Jazz that was released and a music label, which basically had different stickers. Mm-hmm. And it came with a missile launcher, which was awesome. And then they turned back around and did a different color variant of Sideswipe, where he is black and red, which a lot of you guys have seen the masterpieces being released, but that one originally came with a little missile launcher as well that plugged right onto the top. And the design behind that, they just slapped some new different stickers on it, which made it even better because, you know, it gave it that garish green that some people don't like, but you can not have the stickers on there and be just fine. But then they also released Inferno. Inferno is one of them that I'm after. I don't have him. But Inferno had a water launching gimmick. Had a little plunger gun.
A squirter.
Yeah, a squirter gun. He'd stick the end of the squirter in like a little bowl of water, pull the water into it, put it in his hand, and then you're gonna go pew pew and then you just press the little plunger in, it would shoot the water out. And that right there was the introduction of water gimmicks into Transformers, because there wasn't any other one but that for the longest time until they came out with the Aqua Launchers, which I happen to have all four American releases. I'm still after the European ones. But yeah, what was your guys' thoughts on the water gimmick?
Wait a minute, real quick. Brandon just told me to look at Facebook, and Brian Johnson. Look, man, I got nothing to do with the price of things, all right? I got nothing to do with that stuff, all right? It just happens. I'm just...
It's your fault, man. It's all you.
People, you know, let them know that product is out there. But if I did...
you know, reflect the value of an oversized Bruticus. Good for me, I got one. But no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Score for you, man.
I mean, that's funny stuff right there. That's funny.
He's one of the fortunate ones that's able to get hold of this stuff easily. Yeah. I mean, there's stuff that I own that most people that are jaw dropped, they knew how much I got. Mm-hmm. So you know what I like to get? You look and you'll find it.
How many times have I said it? Do your research, save your money. I mean, dang. I mean, that's all you got to do. You know, you don't just – and every once in a while I say this, and people, you know, they're like, well, what do you mean? If you see something and you want it and the price is good, you grab it. If you see something and the price doesn't look good, don't grab it. And then later on you go, man, that was a good deal. Well, yeah, but it just wasn't meant to be. What I'm trying to say is if you know in advance that, you know, product A is worth this much, and you go to these conventions, which are great, the small conventions, I'm a big supporter of those, because you never know what you're going to find. You never know. You find the weirdest stuff. You find stuff, and you're like, holy crap, I would have paid 10 times as much.
Right.
And you're going to find it cheaper. So do your research. Know what you have. When you see it, you grab it.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Exactly. And like we're saying, I mean, search around. Don't just use eBay. I mean, I've got people that I know in the communities I do trades with. Sometimes that works to get a hold of stuff that you need.
Well, the problem with eBay is that it is a good source to find out what products are selling for. But if you get into the realm of such rarities where they don't sell, you have no gauge. What's the gauge? It's what you're willing to pay.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. If you've got something that hasn't sold in the last 10 years, guess what? You're about to set the standard on what that thing's worth. If you're in negotiations to buy it, you're setting the standard.
Exactly. And a lot of people, you know, don't really like Generation 2. And I understand that. You know, I completely understand that. Some people are like, it shattered my childhood when they blew those stupid stickers on Jazz. And to me, it's like, that's almost a cop-out, because honestly, when you guys quit buying G2s, when they quit supporting the mold for that toy. And that's what happened. And a lot of guys out there, you know, have like really been digging and digging and digging to try to find things. I mean, like myself, like I say, and I was talking about like the aqua ones. I'm actually looking for the red Jetstorm. I got the black one, but I'm with the red one. The red one is the European release. And it's really interesting because it's a completely different color. But there are a few molds that they released in Europe of these guys that we did not get. So
you were just solidifying my stance on the 1.5. I'm sorry. We'll get into it anytime you want, but
I mean,
is different than two. And for those listeners that don't understand, you have G1, you have G1.5, which is mostly European, and you have G2. There was a transition stage, and I will leave it at that. When it's time, we will discuss that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little closer toward the end, because we have another issue we're going to hit up. But
well, it's all G2 related.
Yes, yeah, it's everything's
G2 related. It's just a little – it's on its side. Let's push it off to the side. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Right, so onto water squirting gimmicks. How did you guys feel about those when you were a kid?
The neatest thing about those, and I bet most people don't know, is that they, not only do they have the water changing, the – certain parts of the, like on that one that you're holding, I think that's called the trench.
Yeah.
They change colors.
Mm-hmm.
They're color changing based upon temperature, but the water can do that. So that's another little gimmick. They had to have little gimmicks, and this was in the 90s, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And it wasn't just about, okay, we got the Transformers. We got to do something. We got to one-up it. So we got spring-loaded launchers. We got water squirters. We got the color changing. You get your G1 characters in different forms. I mean, the biggest one, in my opinion, was Sideswipe, who went from a red Lamborghini to a black badass Lamborghini.
Yes.
You know, it's just It's a transition.
Right, and the transition was actually pretty nice on some of these. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there that completely, you know, just completely ignore G2. And G2, honestly, if you think about it, a lot of the gimmicks and stuff you guys are getting nowadays, you guys complain about. If you guys would have supported these gimmicks back in the 90s, we still would have been getting Transformers with those gimmicks.
Yeah.
And
Hey, don't blame me.
The water change.
Don't blame me.
The watercolor change gimmick, that was also supported by Mattel with Hot Wheels. You guys remember Hot Wheels? They used to change colors. Well, we had Transformers that did the same thing. And that was during the same time when that happened. So I can see where they were doing there, but I mean, they're not that hard to transform. Very, very simple. Mine's a little stiff. That's why I'm being extra careful. But the big reason why I liked these was they squirted water. That's something I just thought was really cool. Now, the bad thing about these things was the stickers. I kind of think Hasbro missed the mark when they decided to release these with stickers. I think they could have just tampered everything on and then just left it at that.
I disagree.
Okay, go ahead.
I disagree.
Go ahead.
You were talking about a bridge between G1, which was all stickered, and G2, which if you look at the G2 Prime, they did tempo an Autobot logo. They did tempo Autobot on him.
Right, so right,
it
right.
It was a transition.
There's a all right? slight
which, wait a minute, which also, once again, solidifies 1.5 and 2. Sorry, you fell into it, but there's a reason for it.
Okay,
there's
I difference understand.
One, what, 1.5, and 2.
Okay, well, he's talking about Temple. and, I mean, this happened with, like, every G2. You guys see that? I don't know if you can see it very well, because it's not very bright in here. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
You guys see right there, right underneath the propeller here, this little bitty blotch of white you're seeing here, that says Decepticon in there with the Decepticon emblem. And those are all tampered on your G2. There's some people that absolutely hated that it had to say Autobot or Decepticon on the robot itself instead of just an insignia. Because a lot of people that collected the G1 stuff, they didn't like that. So I see where, you know, where they were going from one to the other. But to me, I actually like stickers. I didn't mind stickers. I just didn't like stickers on my water squirting robots. That was all.
Yeah, kind of didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense. And I thought the sticker sheets were really cool. I enjoy applying stickers. That's something I like to do. But there's a small portion of the community that absolutely hates that. But I think, you know, if some of you guys out there start supporting the sticker thing, like Hasbro, you know, release in that world, this is kind of off subject, but it comes with stickers. So I would love to see, you know, them bring that back. Maybe bring back water squirting gimmicks. Maybe bring back a color change gimmick. Bring back more spring-loaded missiles and, you know, just different stuff like that. I mean, want to get into the missile launching gimmicks. I mean,
well, you're talking about more play value. That's what it was all about, was more play value.
I mean,
and on a side note to Mr. Brian Johnson, if there's anything else that you would like me to plug to make it go up 32%, let me know, because I'd be more than happy to do it for a slight percentage.
Just tell him to throw in some bacon on that, because he's Canadian.
I like bacon.
He's Canadian.
It doesn't matter. I really like bacon. Bacon's good. So that's all good.
Yeah, it is.
Bacon is good. But, you know, getting into the other gimmicks, I mean, you know, I am Unicron. You know, obviously the repaint you have there and Laser Prime both came with the bladder. The bladder launching gimmick. And these are kind of difficult to find sometimes, because sometimes the hose is like, because it's rubber, it can degrade over time. Sometimes the bladder itself may crack after a while, especially where the seam is. That's something you need to look out for. the seam on these right here can sometimes crack over time, especially if it's been left out in the sun a lot. So,
well, yeah. let me be the first to say, they recolored the Superion, and that was cool. They recolored Bruticus, that was cool. I'm sorry, but the recolor that monstrosity of a purple Megatron is disgusting.
I love this.
I hate that color. They redid different ones. They did that one in what was it? Bludgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And that color scheme was way better. All those. If you look at the unreleased, which was supposed to be a gray with a tiger black stripe, awesome. Absolutely awesome. That purple sucks. Sorry. Right. It's horrible.
For the guys that if you guys want to know what one we're referring to, it's actually on the Facebook page I put up. It is tiger striped, and it is a sick looking Megatron. I agree with you.
I don't have to find the picture for it. Good.
I like that. I mean, I really do like that color scheme of the tiger stripes. But
well, I'll be honest with you. I do.
I would love to see this.
$2,000 to get one. So, and that's what they command.
This one, I would have loved to have seen them release it in this color and then turn back around and release it with the green and the purple camo, which would have been interesting to see.
You know, well, the best thing about that mode for me personally is right underneath the front where it says Megatron Rules. I thought that was just hilarious. Well,
you got to remember also, and we're kind of sliding away from the fact that they actually did a green Megatron tank that did talk.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
So I have it. It's on the shelf. Kind of like, I can't drink it down.
The full size, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little in between.
It's
but,
about but, this tall, really.
Now, wait a minute now. I'm gonna show you something, and you tell me what you think. Because this is definitely G2.
Oh, the watches. I forgot about those.
I love the watches. Now, I don't have Blastoff yet, but I do have Megatron. Megatron came in two different colors. There was this one right here, and then there was a different, slightly colored version that was European only. But it definitely depicts him in the green and purple camo.
Right, which I agree. I mean, it would have been cool to see this released in that, but honestly, I don't mind this. Now, this would have made a little more sense, and you know, this is going out there on a limb, if they would have remolded the head into Shockwave's head and released him in this color.
Yes.
Everybody would have completely lost their mind if that would have been.
I agree on that.
That would have been cool.
But my other thing is, and this is where, and I really, really tried to decide when you said what was my favorite G2. I was going to go into the watches and all the other merchandise, but I went, no, we're going to stick to figures, and that's why I went with my pick. When they went to G2, I mean, in G1, you had your bed sheets and pill cases and stuff like that. When they went to G2, man, they freaking pimped out as much Transformer merchandise as they could, all genres, watches included.
Mm-hmm.
And these bad boys are tough to find, especially that Blastoff.
Yeah, I didn't even know they made it, to be honest with you.
It's super tough. All right. They also did an Ultra Magnus, and they did a Superion.
Oh, you know what? I have seen the Magnus and Superion. I didn't know about the Megatron and Blastoff.
Well, I think
the Magnus was the tail end of G1, is when they released those.
Mm.
I think that was a test bed for these to be released.
Well, regardless, these are G2. All right. These aren't G1s. They aren't G1.5, which we'll discuss later. These are G2. All right. At that point, Hasbro said, hell with it. We're going to pimp Transformers out. All right. We're going to go every genre. And I guarantee you're going to find there was costumes and a whole bunch of other stuff. And you're going to find out it was about this era. And that's when they decided, you know, we need to branch out. And this stuff is cool. And it is tough, tough to find.
Right. I agree. That Megatron watch I've seen go for a stupid amount of money, and I'm on the same boat with you. I've never seen the Blastoff. Although is tough. We can't say it's not out there. I know it's out there. Somebody's got it. But
as sad as that may be, that picture I got, and I looked at that and went $25. Oh my God, I would definitely three times as much. So I know it's out there. It's just a matter of finding it.
And the big, like we were saying, you know, the big thing dealing with G2 was the gimmicks. I know I brought these guys up earlier in like one of the other casts, but I've got three of the four Rotor Force. Sadly, I don't have any other little disc things to go to them, but I mean, you know, I got Ransack here, which is freaking awesome. And me and Magnus got talking offline and found out there's two color variants as well, this thing. It's in the rotors. It's not actually in the bot itself. The rotors are a different color. There's a red variant and a black variant. And then all the Autobots had blue rotors.
That's right.
So these things are awesome. It was really cool gimmick. All you do is you attach the rotor to the front here, spin it around. Once you got it spinned around enough, you basically wind it up, then you hit the little button on top, and it would release
and those
the rotor and spin it off, and it would fly off.
That's right, and they didn't fly like 2 or 3 feet. I mean, they
went away.
They went off.
And they're pretty light, but they're very difficult to find.
With that, the black rotor?
Without breakage.
And I have yet to find, and if anyone can add to it or correct me, whatever, please do. I have yet to find any reason why they changed it, but they did. They changed it from black to red. Very first, in the initial stages, you can find them with black rotors, and then they did change them to red. I don't know of any of the Autobots being with other than blue. So I think there was only three color variations. But once again, to all the listeners, if anyone can add or tell me I'm wrong, please do. I'd like to know, because, you know, I'd like to collect them too.
But yeah, when it comes to all the gimmicks, I mean, obviously we talked about all those, but we haven't even really touched another gimmick that they had was the sound boxes. G2 Prime, which was basically the trailer was repainted black, and it said Optimus Prime on the trailer, and a lot of people were like, oh, I hate that, you know. This is very stiff to try to get off here without trying to break it. It's mainly because I don't really pull this off here very often. It's a little sound box that actually came on Ramjet and Starscream. Obviously, you guys can tell Starscream's in some crazy colors here. This is not coming off crazy. The right.
You're talking about a gray camo.
Yeah, it's
way
it's
better than the G1.
Gray camo, but this is a hot pink. Very hot pink color.
It's hard to see on the camera. It kind of looks orange, but you're right. It is very vibrant.
Yeah, it's a very, very vibrant color, which is cool. You know, I actually like that. But because it's a little sound box in the sound box.
And lights. The little lights light up also.
And then
by the way, that was very loud.
I'm sorry.
When
I'm
sorry. I go to the to my doctor, I will send you the bill for my hearing.
I'm sorry, but it's also got another sound, which was funny because the little lights in the front flash at the same time, which is kind of cool. So, you know. This right here itself, you know, if you think about this little post-it and stick out, it almost looks like a little tank, which is really neat. But this plugs right onto the back of your
That was part of the remodding. They put three little pegs on it.
Well, exactly. When it comes to the Ramjet and Starscream, there are three little pegs. Now, if you guys have been to the Facebook page and you guys have checked it out, or if you are going there, you guys will see color variant ones that were never released to the public. There are camouflaged ones. There was one that was in desert camo.
We're going right now. We're going to check it out. Yeah, we're going there now.
But yeah, if you guys go over and check some of that stuff out, you guys will find out that there were different color variants for every one of these Seekers. So the Seekers were not really left out of the are we going to revamp them not or not kind of gimmick. And this was like we were saying, very early G2. When it goes to the later G2, that's when things kind of get a little odd. That's when we got the Cyber Jets. I should have grabbed some, but we got the Cyber Jets that are very easy to transform, and they got a flick fire missile, which everybody's like, ew, flick fire. No, it's a flick fire missile. It fires. It does very well. If you guys go, I actually did a review of all of them on my YouTube. If you guys go check those out, they're really neat. They're highly desirable, and there's only six of them. So it's easy to complete that line. It's very easy to get that line. And they're roughly about, you can get them usually between 15 to maybe about 30 bucks, depending on if you're getting with the package. But if you're getting them to play with, get them out of package because they're so much easier to get hold of. And then I'm trying to remember the proper name of the other. I want to call them Cyber Jets too, but I don't know they're not Cyber Jets. But it had like Terra Dive in there and such. And those had the guns. Their guns basically were like little bombs and such that was strapped to the bottom of them when they were in aircraft mode. And then whenever they were in robot mode, you would use that for the weapon. But the great thing about all those were the introductions of light piping. Light piping was also on the little water squirter guys. And I believe, yeah, light piping was also on the Rotor Force. So light piping was introduced during Generation 2. So those guys that complain about G2, hating it, if it weren't for G2, you guys wouldn't have light piping. Just one. It wouldn't have ever been introduced.
There's a
until
lot more
way later.
There's a lot more to it than that.
Right.
Because if you think about G2, what came next?
Look at my eyes, buddy. That's a perfect example of light piping.
What came after G2? Beast Wars. Okay. So basically what happened was is you got Hasbro trying all these gimmicks, everything. And then they thought, well, people don't want machines. So we're going to go more towards animals. Mm-hmm. And that's why they went that way. Well, Beast Wars, as much as I love it, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, they went back to RID, which was robots, this, that, and the other. And the reason was is because that's what people wanted. They tried it with G2. It was not as successful as G1. And everyone knows, when you start rehashing the same molds and this, that, and the other, you're not going to get the same response that you did initially.
Right.
And I don't think they took that into account. And that's why we got Beast Wars, which, once again, love Beast Wars. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But that was the reason. They tried to go a different route. Not to mention, you also have to understand that they had just acquired Kenner, and they gave them the franchise. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about a different outlook, a different group of people with their own ideas.
And Kenner was actually, like right at the end of G2 is when Kenner kind of merged with them.
Yeah.
Kenner was doing very well, too. That's the only reason why, Hasbro was like, hey, we want you to be on our team.
Yeah.
Because constantly were competing with them.
They were, but Hasbro bought out Kenner. And then they took their line, and you would see it. And you would see an item that said Kenner, Hasbro. Then you'd see it a year later, and it would say Hasbro Kenner. And then the year after that, it would just be Hasbro. They phased it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just corporate business. They bought bought out their competitors, and that's what it was. But my point being is that G2 was essential, in my opinion, to RID. It really was. It bridges the gap. You got this, the Beast Wars, the Beast Machines that was in the middle. But I honestly believe that if they would have just let the everything die with G1, we may have gotten Beast Wars just because they were trying something new, but I don't think we would have got R.I.D. I just don't think that
I think
that's R.I.D. too big of a gap.
R.I.D. would have been a very different beast, if you think about it. I mean, they would have had the guys that are...
No pun intended on the beast, right?
Right, right. No pun intended. Gotcha. We would have Beast War things, and most of your robots probably would have looked like the Autobot brothers if they would have done that, and then probably tried to rehash a few of the G1 stuff, not even look at the G2 aesthetics.
You're telling me that you think that everything we got in G2 would have been in R.I.D. Because essentially that's what you're saying. You're talking about G1 molds, different gimmicks, this, that, and the other. That's what G2 was. So you're saying it just would have been later.
I would say, yeah, it would have probably been later. Because
I don't disagree with that.
Because there's certain gimmicks and stuff that we got during G2 that were essential of other toy brands, like I was saying, like with Hot Wheels with their color changing gimmicks. There were quite a few toys out there that actually had discs that flew off when you fired them. I mean, if you think about Laser Prime integrated every single solitary gimmick almost into
himself.
He had a light up sword, so he had a light up gimmick. He didn't have any sounds, that's the only thing. But he did have a bladder launcher. He had a disc launcher. He had a missile launcher. Just so much stuff crammed into them.
All the friction, the friction launchers.
Yeah,
the Laser Prime had so much with it. I mean, look at it. The funny thing was is how do you make the sword glow? It was a gimmick. It was all incorporated. Not only was it, and we're gonna get into it, but these guys right here did the same thing. You got light piping with a sword. Oh, I'm sorry. That way. Yeah. Light piping with a sword, and then you have the LED through the hand.
Well, what you're showing there, actually, which one was that just now that you were showing? The laser rod?
I'm horrible with names. That's not Sizzle.
No.
Remember, too, now, what was the first thing that we got with the laser rods?
That's Jolt.
That is continued until this very day in Transformers. That was introduced in G2 Transformers. Do y'all remember? The ball joint.
That's true.
That came out of G2 Transformers.
Okay, ball joints were used a little more in G2.
Right there, baby.
Originated.
Even shows it right there.
They actually originated in Diaclone. People don't know this, but the ball joint actually goes further back than that. Because the engineering behind a ball joint actually was seen in Shogun Warriors as well, during the same time as Diaclone and the train robo. Most of you guys know that by Raiden. It's a somewhat of a ball joint in their arms.
But
it's got pegs that stick out on both sides when you move it around. So it's a somewhat swivel slash ball joint.
Like a yoke joint, what they call it.
And you also had Astro Train. His arms were on ball joints.
Were they on Astro Train?
Yes.
Or was that a swivel?
Yeah, they were up here. They weren't down at the bottom. They weren't down like closer. They were up actually inside. Because in order to pull his arms out, they had to have some kind of rotating mechanism. Otherwise, it would have just snapped them right off, or you would have been stuck with a universal joint or something like that. They'd have to try to fix in there. Well, if you think about it, Astro Train was Diaclone before. So that mechanism in engineering has been around longer than most people want to say. Everybody says it started in Beast Wars. It started being massively used in Beast Wars.
Yeah, heavily used in Beast Wars. I know a lot of people thought that's where it came from, but I remember the G2 laser rods had them big time. And that was the first place I've ever seen them was the G2 laser rods.
You have to remember that when Beast Wars came out, they also did the Beast Wars Neo and all that other stuff, which incorporated a lot of the same molds from... I'll say G2.
Yes.
From G2. But
the auto rollers.
Actually, G1.5 did a lot of tremendous things, including ball joints, for G2. So
right.
you can say G1.5 or G2. Yes, a lot of the innovations that you got in Beast Wars came from them, including the hiding of the weapons in the transformation, because those first came out in G2.
Yes, it did. G2 is where the tucked away weapon mechanism came from.
This one,
there was slight stuff.
A lot of the cyber jets, there were some of them that had the guns that went inside, including, well, we're kind of forgetting machine.
That's the ones I was talking about, like the bombs and such, like Terranide, the bomb plugs into the bottom. That's pretty much.
Yes.
Incorporating the gun into alt mode.
And we already did the Machine Wars thing. But, I mean, similar. You had the same molds with the guns and the weapons that incorporated themselves into the alt mode. Whereas G1, you took all their weapons and everything, and you just set them aside. They didn't, I mean, even, like, let's just say Mirage. His launcher, it wasn't usable in vehicle mode. You know, you can understand the gun, this and the other, but even the launcher was not accessible in vehicle mode. Now, later on, they made it. Either they incorporated it into the design, or it plugged on top. And even today, with, like, Masterpiece series, you know, all the Masterpieces, their launchers plug on top, even in vehicle mode.
Right.
Laser Prime Sword became his taillights and...
Yep.
Underneath.
That one was actually very ingenious, because even the gun plugged into the trailer.
Into the trailer, yes.
Yeah, everything folded in and plugged in nicely.
Yeah, they did an amazing job on the trailer. That's why it really is my favorite mode from G2, because the trailer itself is a whole entire playset in its own right that goes along. I mean, look at this freaking thing. Let me see if I can get it all in camera here.
Well, let me ask you this. If they had molded that in G1 colors, everything exactly like that, was it with as much play value as that one has, don't you think that the G1 Prime would be that much more desirable?
I mean, oh,
that
definitely.
Is awesome.
Yes, definitely. You
know? I mean, they started a little bit with G1, but it doesn't do nearly as much as that one does. That one has a lot of play value.
Right. Well, with G1, all they really did was take the Generation 1 trailer, and they had a sound box that plugged to the front of it to make it a refrigeration trailer. And then it has two little holes on the sides that you take these two missile launchers and plug them into both sides of the trailer when it's in vehicle mode. Now, when Prime's in his Prime mode, you take that sound box off, you switch the missile launchers forward so that way they're on either side of his arms, and you plug it onto the back of Prime, and it becomes a backpack. So... it was a very ingenious way of incorporating something that, you know, some fanboys were all about, you know, because, like, oh, my God, Optimus Prime steals Sideswipe's backpack and puts it on. Well, you could do that with your G1 Prime. And then, you know, all the guys out there went out and bought the third-party add-on for that that actually comes with that little backpack that looks a little – looks accurate. But that was the first rendition of adding a backpack to Prime. That was the very first one.
Yes.
And it has firing missiles, which is cool, because it added to the firing missile gimmick the trailer already had. So I agree that it probably would have been awesome to see that Tanker Prime repainted in G1 Prime colors. That would be absolutely awesome. Although I've seen a Toxitron that was prototyped. I don't know if that was going to be for RID. I think it was. I don't believe it was going to be for G2. But it was in some really garish G2 colors that they are now.
I'd like to get my hands on that Magnus repaint that they did at Laser Prime.
Oh, the E-Hobby.
Yeah, he went kind of crazy in price really quick, and I never could pick one up that I was willing to pay for.
Yeah, he obviously – like, anytime I've seen him – every time I've seen that thing on eBay, it goes for at least $230 to $300.
Yeah, it's up there, man.
Anywhere between there. Now, sometimes you see some crazy person that goes for $500. I'm like, that thing is not worth $500.
No.
It's not.
I mean, I give $100 easy for it, but...
$100, $150?
Yeah.
Yeah. When it first came out, it was probably like $75 to $80.
Yeah, I think it was $80.
Thing, that eHobby, yeah, it was right around $80. So I could see it being worth $100, maybe $150, depending on condition. Mm-hmm. That thing's sealed, never been opened. Okay, $150.
Yeah.
$200? Nah. I just don't see it. There's other eHobbies out there that command more, and rightfully so. This one, it doesn't. It was more widely released.
Right, and I'm trying to think. I don't think that's the only hint back with eHobby to G2 that we ever got. I don't think there's anything else that we've got that's like an actual like G1 mold that just turned into G2 or they did something with. I don't think there is anything else. Everything else is like harking back to
nothing
Diaclone or something like that.
Yeah. So
Diaclone or unnamed or not unnamed, but named character we never got an actual toy for. And, you know, I want to say it was the first or second episode they show this stupid thing. I'm like, and then it's gone completely. It's like, where the heck did that character go? You know?
Exactly.
So you guys probably know what one I'm referring to. But yeah, we did get an eHobby release of him, but he's stupid expensive. He really is. He's like $300.
Yes.
I have not seen him cheaper than that ever. But that's going off on a different tangent. Anyway, let's talk about what we absolutely hate.
Oh my Generation God, 2. Chad!
Chad is back. He's not
kicking around.
I think.
Maybe.
Maybe he's here.
But see, since he's here and he can't hear, we can talk about it.
Cool. He's in his portable studio.
Toilet.
So, yeah. His 18-wheel toilet.
Exactly.
But anyway, what did you guys absolutely hate about G2? Not talking about a problem. I'm talking about what did you hate about it?
I tell you what, Brandon, you go with this. I've got a couple things in mind. Go ahead.
Well, there's not a whole lot that I hated about G2. I know when I first started seeing them, of course, the colors, I was like, oh my God, what are these colors? You know, they screwed up Superion. Devastator, I was somewhat cool with. But Superion, I was like, oh my God, it's awful looking. But it grew on me, and now I love the thing. I think it's really cool looking. But other than, I guess, some of the colors at first, the shock of the colors, that's pretty much the only thing I really didn't like about Generation 2. And that was only a temporary deal. Now it's I'm fine with the colors. You know, it's one of those things that grow on you, and you end up loving it after. But as far as anything I really hate about G2, not really. I wish they would have released more characters, more of the combiners. But other than that, I mean, that's really the biggest dislike I have is there wasn't enough of it, to be honest with you.
I think I concur with that one, with not enough of, because, you know, a lot of us during the 90s, we had no internet. You don't have all this stuff. Nope. I'm talking about early 90s, guys. Not talking about the tail end of 90s. You guys are spoiled. But anyway, we knew nothing about them possibly releasing, you know, Defensor or Minasaur in colors.
Yep.
And knew nothing about them possibly thinking about a different repaint of, you know, Megatron here and all that stuff. And then the second we get pictures on the internet, our eyeballs pop out of our head and we go into convulsions like, why didn't we get that? You know, we're foaming at the mouth, kicking of the freaking door Hasbro. What the hell are you thinking? Why don't you re-release this? Tell eHobby to get on it, you know? But the big thing is, I think during this age, because during this age we got coming out right now, we got a lot of guys that remember G2 vividly. They remember it. Like, they remember walking in and seeing Optimus Prime with a black trailer. It was on the fence whether they should get it or not because, you know, it's Optimus with a freaking black trailer, but they're like, yeah, screw it, I'm going to buy it because it's cool. You know, a lot of kids have that nowadays, you know, that are actually in the market now that are collecting. That market's going to start increasing again because, you know, you think about all the G1 guys, most of us have the stuff, and the stuff that's out there, most people are just, like, kind of picking at. but you're noticing G2's kind of been scarce, very scarce lately, because those collectors are getting this stuff and they're not letting go.
Because you've got it all, man. I'm sorry.
Holy crap, Chad is here. Man, you scared me.
How you doing there, Chad?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Had to work, so wasn't able to get on early.
Whatever. That's cool, dude. That's cool. Work is for suckers.
You are a sucker. Look like a big old...
Whatever. Come on, let's hear it. Let's hear it. Come on now.
All right.
No, I'm good,
right,
man. I'm not gonna pull another person's trick out of my hat. So
I just got done plugging you, not in that way, by the way, but big time.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa.
That's what she said.
Where's this conversation going?
That's okay, because if I was plugging, I would be the male half, and that's okay.
You'd be the pitcher, not the catcher.
So
absolutely.
So anyway,
good God.
So obviously we're talking about G2 because Plasticon's running the show. So.
Oh yeah. You know, I got to bring in the rainbow, man. Taste the rainbow. But
just a big bag of Skittles.
Okay. Because I know Megamus here, he's got an idea of what his most hated thing about G2 is. I want to hear what you liked and what you hated about it, Chad. Go for it.
Let's see, G2. I don't
favorite. Oh, wait, it starts out with very favorite toy out of it.
Very favorite toy. I thought the Optimus Prime with the speaker box was the voice box. Was awesome because it looked like a refrigerator pack on the front of the semi, you know, so it was definitely different. You know, that's what I liked probably the most. I never had one up until I was an adult, so it didn't, you know, I didn't see a lot of G2 in the store. To be honest with you, I remember the orange Devastator. I remember seeing those in individual packs at like Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't remember seeing much G2 other than that. So I guess favorite would definitely be Prime, just because, you know, Prime's iconic. And then you put a refrigerator pack on the front of his trailer, and, you know, the truck looks awesome that way. So. And since I'm a truck driver, you know, I kind of have an affinity for trucks anyhow.
So what did you hate about it?
Everything else.
Everything else. That's very, very – you got to find something. I'm not talking about problems. I'm talking about what did you hate about it.
I thought the gimmicks were too gimmicky. I really thought the gimmicks for G2 were horrible.
Okay, you thought they were horrible, right? Now you got different eyes now seeing what Hasbro's done. What do you think of them now?
Compared to Mech Tech, they're awesome, but, you know, that's just...
Damn!
Anything is good compared to Mech Tech. Let's see. The one I hated the most was the water. The little water pistol thing. I thought those were retarded.
That was awesome.
These were sweet.
You could squirt and what?
And you had
that's what she
was.
Said.
You can squirt and change colors at the same time. Which if you're very good, that can happen a lot. But you know, whatever. Go with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, not I'm not big on that. So and then
yeah, that's what I heard.
The one I liked the gimmick I probably liked the best G2 was the air popping missiles. You know,
the bladder ones?
What's that?
The bladder missiles, the ones that
like Wait a minute. Let me get this right.
Okay?
Let me get this straight. The phallic symbols that shoot off in the air more than the little explosions of liquid. Is that correct? Yes or no?
I am taking this to an adult level, and I am not answering your childish questions.
That's not childish. That was I am taking it to its simplest form and just you're explaining myself. You said it. You deal with it.
Whatever. You know, I don't care. So I liked the of the gimmicks that they had. My favorite was probably the launching missiles versus the water guns. I really didn't dig the water guns. I didn't like Hot Wheels when they had the changing color Hot Wheels. I thought those were retarded. So pretty
I
much
thought those were neat. I remember those as a kid. Those were awesome.
Is anybody else going to just jump through here and strangle him now? I love those water-changing Hot Wheels.
Now, wait a minute. Whoa.
I have the micro machines that change colors.
Those were the bomb, too.
The only thing I thought that was better than the color-changing was the crash-ups.
Oh, that was killer.
You'd hit them, and they'd flip up.
The crash-ups were awesome.
Those were awesome.
I have to admit, those were cool. Because everybody here had a crisscross crash card.
You're whatever. Whatever. There you go. Right there. Right there. Whatever.
Are you done being a little baby? You done being a little baby there, Brett?
I'm not the one talking about phallic symbols and stuff like that. So
I wasn't either. I was talking about missiles and water. That's all I was talking about.
Missiles!
All I gotta say is, what does that look like to you? That's all I got to say.
Looks like Megatron's missile to me, man.
You would know. You've seen it.
There you go.
Wow. Someone's excited.
No, that's Scourge. No, that's Scourge. That's Scourge's missile there.
Whoa. Brandon.
No.
Calm down.
Scourge. Scourge. It's Nemesis Prime.
Listen.
Yeah. My bad.
His is red. Calm down, Brandon.
Yes, okay. Let me take it down a notch.
I got a little bit too excited.
Hey, Brandon. Well, Brandon, put away the happy puppy.
I guess so.
Okay, wait a minute. Since we're on the topic of the color of the tips of those missiles, what are the other variants between those particular models, between these Scourge and that Nemesis? What are the other differences other than the upside down Autobot logos and the license plate?
Now, wait a minute. If you're talking about the differences in colors,
there were.
Could you point them out?
Let me think.
Hold on. I'll show you. Okay, on here, the pinstriping is different on the side. On here. The striping is a little bit different. Let me get it in camera here. Here we go. Some of the stripes are different. I don't remember exactly what they were. This has more teal on it on the Japanese version. He also had Decepticon symbols on the RID version on the doors. And actually, the stickers with the upside down Autobot, these are actually like a shiny metallic sticker, whereas the RID, just the American version, is actually like a gray metallic looking just sticker. Not really a metal sticker like this is. This is a shiny reflective sticker on here. You busting out yours, somebody?
Well, I didn't want to go grab it because, you know, I'd have to turn around and show my ass, and I didn't want to get Chad all excited. So, but anyway.
Bust yours out, man. Let's look at them.
There you go. Okay, there is.
Oh, that's laser. Nice.
Laser Prime. All right. And if you look, because I got all this crap right here.
Yeah, blue to yellow.
Okay. And remember what we talked about before? Let me see if mine will actually show it up.
Yeah, you got the Autobot symbol on it, right?
Yeah, let me bust one of those out of there and see if you can actually see it. But it is actually the symbol.
Yep.
Let me see if I can get that.
Yeah, it's only on one disc, too. That's something
I see it?
It's only on one side of the disc, on like the top side.
Correct. But you flip it over, and it's nothing. They all had that.
There we go. I'm trying to put light on mine. Can y'all?
Yeah, yours. You can kind of see it. But yeah. The other thing is, it came with these little missiles. That's what was in the launchers.
Yep.
And then, I'm sorry, but probably one of the neatest things, it had this little gun.
Yes.
That actually had a little flip up. Oops, pops right off. A little flip up where you can plug it in here, or you can plug it into the hand. And if you look at it, it's clear. And that's so that the front pieces would light up. And that's light piping. So, yes. I mean, right then and there, you have, and it was neat. It wasn't just one whole, you know, clear, you know, on the laser rods, they did one whole clear piece. No, this was actually inside the plastic where it would go in through here, go through it, and come out at the.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just a really ingenious way. And like we said before, it also plugs into the trailer. So kind of like, you know, pre-Beast Wars, all the weapons and accessories combined into the alternate mode.
Matter of fact, everything combines, all the extra missiles. Let me see if I can show you on here.
There's a sword.
See the extra missile plugs into the side of the tank?
Yes.
And then all of the other little extra missiles off of this launcher. Can y'all see them?
Yeah, they all plug into the sides of the trailer.
Yes, there we go.
If you look at
the back
of the G2 box,
yep, there, it everything
shows where all they're supposed to go. Let me see if I can get one way. Mirror, so you can see it.
Yeah,
you can see everything see plugs into it.
Everything. When you transform it to vehicle, yep. When you transform to vehicle mode, everything stores 100% inside of him or on him as a complete item.
Well, I know R.I.D. Scourge, man. He was like he's definitely the best version of that mold.
Yes, I love it. I got the Nemesis version, and man, I love it, dude.
Right.
To me, that's one of my prized possessions of my Transformers. I know it's not nothing spectacular or anything. It's just really one and truly one of my favorite Transformers of all time.
I had three of those things at one time, and slowly but surely sold them all off.
Show off!
Oh, I bought them all at once, too. I bought them all in North Carolina when I went to BotCon that year, because they had them out early.
Now, the only complaint I have about this mold is I wish they would have left the light piping, the gimmick, working in it. They gutted it. Matter of fact, where the battery go, there's a piece of tape on the back where the battery's supposed to go in here. Mm-hmm. And then the button on top, the button actually still presses down in mine, but it doesn't function. It doesn't do anything.
No, they put it like a black piece of tape over it.
Yeah, on the very back of it where the batteries go.
But just to let you know, you can actually take the electronics out of a busted up G2, and it'll fit in there.
I've thought about doing that. But,
and the light piping is still in the hand.
Yes, it still goes through the hand.
Yep, so you could just connect it and it'd be fine.
The headlights actually lit up on it. The fists, you can swap the guns back and forth. And also the Nemesis Prime, his sword is a lot more pointy than what Scourge's is also. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can see that it has a sharper tip. Megamus will probably show you on his G2 laser. It's a little bit more of a dull tip on it.
I'd be more than happy to show you my tip. Hang on.
Hey, we'll save that for.
That's the unrated podcast.
There it is.
There we go.
Honestly, I would say that it's rounded.
Yeah.
It's more rounded.
It's more rounded than mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's got a little bit more of a pointy.
I'll give it up to you. Your tip's sharper than mine.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
What's got such a simple fact of why Hasbro does what they do now with mixing things?
I thought it had to do with age, but, you know, that's fine. We'll go with that.
Age before beauty, right?
I give it up. I can't give more than what I am.
So. There you go. And I got to go find my little miniature version. Let me jump up for a minute and go see if I can find him, because I got him also.
But anyhow, I know we were talking about, like, prototypes and such, and the prototype ones we had plugged on a different cast of that particular Prime had a roller that's supposed to come with it as well. And I know that they were going to remount the missile launcher, not the this is the friction fire one that you push the little missiles in and just let them go.
Right.
That was going to be plugged onto the top of the rocket launching tower instead of on one of the portions that sticks out to the side. There were some major modifications they did to that.
I forgot to mention one other thing that they changed for G2. And see if you can see it here. Do you remember the tech cards that they had? And rather than just you took the little red thing and put it over it.
Yep.
This thing actually folded and popped up. And it was kind of like a, like an action card. So that was something that they did. And I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I actually, like, when it came to, like, the artwork and what they did, just packaging-wise, they sold it. They really did. They did a very excellent job with just packaging alone. Like, even when they did, like, all the Dinobots, when they released all those, just in, different colors.
Now that was one of my pet peeves, and I say it later. The packaging on those was neat in that you could take them and you could set them up and they would stand because it was a clamshell. It was a three-sided clamshell, both sides and the bottom, and it would sit. The problem is if you wanted to display those, they were very difficult to display. It was just how it was. So they went, all the Dinobots were originally in boxes, which to me was easier to display. They went with a blister clam case, but it was three-sided, so it would stand by itself. So that was one of my pet peeves about G2. They were, in my opinion, harder to display in packaging.
I thought the artwork itself actually had a very style to it. It was very, I don't even know how to explain it, but it was definitely more European than it was designed by Americans.
And that also leads to me believing in the 1.5 as the G2. A lot of this stuff came from, they had the European exclusives, and a lot of the artwork that was used in G2 was from 1.5. So to say that there isn't an actual 1.5, even though we know they didn't call it that, that is a fan-made acronym or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
There was a 1.5, and that definitely falls into that category.
Well, yeah. If you look at correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Thunderclash, when he was released during G1, yes. I call it G1. I know you call it 1.5, but when he was released, if you looked at the packaging, the Autobot emblem was a G2 emblem.
Sure it was.
And the lettering and everything was, but the emblems that were on the toy were G1.
Anywhere on that packaging do you see G2? No.
Hence, he never said either
one. Connection between the two, 1.5.
Right. But I mean, I see where you're getting at, because we're talking about the packaging changeovers and such. And
It is a transition.
Mm-hmm.
And the once same thing again, with the as I said, it is a fan-made acronym 1.5, but that fits. It was in between 1, and it was in between 2. And then they decided that in Europe that it did so well, they would do their own line, which was, and it came after G2, Machine Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, technically,
it came
at the same time, and it was just a KB exclusive, but it was definitely 1.5 molds around the G2 line.
Right, and a lot of it, like, I think the very first test market for just package changing was when they did the European ones where they were they released like Jazz and all the G1s in a gold box with a different kind of lettering. And they called them the Hero Series. That's what they call them. And
well, we're also going to get into, and this is where it gets a little cloudy, because you're talking about the classics, which are the gold box and all that, but I don't think we should go into that.
Right.
You know, I was just thinking what we need to do.
But I think that's where you see, like, the transition begins there, I believe.
You're correct.
But because if you look at the lettering, the lettering is very G2-ish lettering.
Not
the color of it, but the lettering.
The lettering. You're right.
So
it is kind of a progression.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go into the worst thing that G2 or 1.5, however you want to look at it, gave us. And that is gold plastic syndrome. Can you extrapolate on that and tell us what GPS is?
GPS is not a global positioning system.
It is not.
I want to call it.
It
is a gold plastic syndrome.
But that is not it. That's correct. Okay.
What it is basically it's a metallic metal that's added to a paint. And when that's been added to the paint, it isn't mixed correctly, and it causes the molecules of that paint and the plastic itself to just deteriorate and come apart, which causes stress, causes them to just completely shatter, causes them just basically turn into a powdery dust ball in your hand.
Which sadly, we will demonstrate.
Right. Well, we will actually show you guys some of that stuff. The bad thing about this stuff is there's so many things that have been released that were never re-released that you're never going to get that mold again in that color or ever get that mold, period, like hence G2 Electro. Yes. Never going to get that mold. I personally have seen...
That mold
seen,
was destroyed, wasn't it?
Well,
it didn't destroy.
On.
It was
hang
segregation.
On. There was, and I looked on eBay, I've only seen one picture of it. Somebody had a KO version of Electro that is not gold. I believe it was like a light blue color, but I don't know what size it was, and I've never seen anything else from it ever again. So I don't know if anybody has reverse engineered or anything of that particular toy. But GPS is very, very, very bad. For you collectors out there that want to go out and buy you a Generation 2 Superion, or if you want to buy an Electro, or if you want to buy
Black Zurich is a good
Black Zurich is
Black
a good
Zurich
one. That's
is a
tail end.
Big one. Pyro.
You also got Pyro and Clinch. That's the yes. two I was trying to think of. Pyro. And you also have Thunderclash. All of them happen to have gold plastic.
Yes.
This gold plastic would just basically disintegrate. Now,
right. Wait a minute. Here's the thing.
Here to show you.
Yeah. Here is what the GPS is. Okay. And mine is actually missing the fuselage or the tail section because of this. You have a gold slingshot, and it looks fine. It looks fine. You know, but if you look real close, you will see little swirls. Let me see if I can get it to do that.
Drop it on the desk. See what happens.
No, I'm not going to drop it. there's little swirls in the paint, and that's where the coloring and whatever else they used, it makes stress marks. It is literally fractures in the plastic. And as Plasticon will show you, this will very easily turn into this.
This is an entire bag. This was a G2 slingshot. Was. No, I did not break this. This was one that I happened to have purchased with this guy when I had gotten it, because I purposely was looking for a broken one because I didn't want to deal with it.
Did you sneeze on it?
I know. It dude, this thing was completely shattered. But the crazy thing is, I was able to actually salvage some bits from, like, well, just the chest piece. Because
well,
the chest piece is still die-cast. That's
take
what's crazy.
Take a piece out and just show them what it does.
like,
especially if you add a little bit of stress to it.
I mean, okay, I'm getting an arm here, guys, an arm. Now, if you notice, got your little ball joint. It's painted.
Looks now, wait a minute. Right? Now, wait a minute. Before you do that, how often do you get to see live destroying vintage toys? Because that's what's going to happen. Yeah. All he has to do is barely flex it.
Yeah, I'm going to barely flex
this. There you go.
And it should. Oh, wow. This one's actually kind of strong, dude. There it goes. Snapped right in half.
Look at that.
And that's barely any stress, guys. That just snapped in half. And
the deal is with that, the reason that is because they actually put metal flake in the plastic itself. When they mix the color in, the metal flake actually destroyed the bond for the plastic. Because when you heat up the plastic to in intrusion or extrusion molds, if you have anything else in there, it actually creates gaps. Well, those little gaps are what caused that issue.
Right. That's what I was talking about.
I had mentioned that when they blend the gold flake into the actual paint, the gold flake was like a metal type. It's not real gold. You can't go get one of these and try to sell it for real gold and melt it down. But
basically what it does is it makes fractures. We're talking when these things were first made, they had cracks in them. Mm-hmm. They are microscopic fractures. And if you look real close, you're going to see little swirl marks. My damn camera would show. they're just little swirl marks. And that's where the points of stress are. And that's where it's going to crack. And literally, if you take this, and I'm just holding it elbow high, if I drop this, it's going to shatter. It's going to shatter like a light bulb. And that's what he showed you. That is what GPS plastic is. And everyone talks about Black Zyrak. And the reason is because this, you know, this is not worth nearly what Black Zyrak is. But Black Zyrak has the same problems. And I've actually heard of people having one transformed sitting there in a glass display case, you know, just sheltered from all the elements. And all of a sudden they hear a popping noise. They go over there and it just shatters. Why? Because at that point, the cohesiveness of the plastic gives. No reason. So now, GPS is very serious if you're talking about collecting G1s and even G2s, and especially the higher-end ones, which were the Japanese ones like Black Zyrak. That's something you got to live with. It's going to happen eventually. I have one in my display case, and I already know. I opened it myself. I transformed it myself. It's sitting in the display case, and I know eventually it's going to break.
Right.
Just by sitting there.
So my advice to you guys out there, and I know some of you guys want a G2 Superion. You guys love the colors of G2 Superion. Well, do what I did, if you possibly can, if you're handy. If you're not handy, get a hold of me or somebody else. And get a hold of a G1 and repaint that damn thing gold. That's what I did. I took a G1 slingshot, repainted it. I basically swapped out. This is actually a G2 chest. I swapped out the chest. And I completely disassembled it, painted the entire thing, and then reassembled it. So that way I can use this with my G2 Superion. It will stand on the shelf, and I can play with it all day, and I don't have to worry about it exploding.
Now, let me say one thing. Take just the side of it. Take this side of it and put it as close to the camera so they can see it. And say something so they can see it. So.
See? That's
all right. Now, you look at that, and you look at this. And they look identical. The difference is mine is like peanut brittle, and his is not. So there you go.
Black Zyrak, with your Black Zerg, Brett, it won't be nice to display, but if you actually put it as many points on the ground as or on the flat surface as possible, you will have less stress on the plastic, which will actually relieve the tension that causes it to break.
I understand all that, and here's how I look at it, all right? I collect for a reason. It's for what is pleasing to me. I put it in the mode I want, and I'm happy with it. But I also go with the fact that I know that eventually it's going to break. It's just
gone. What mode is it in anyway?
I put it in robot mode.
Did you?
And the worst thing was getting fast tracks in robot mode. That took me an hour to transform him.
Wow.
It's got to take your time.
Yep. Well, I mean, like we were saying, there are ways around gold plastic syndrome. There are a few out there that if you guys do have a Black Zerak, or if you guys are in the market for a Black Zerak, you can probably get just the body of Black Zerak with all the red bits and such for fairly decent price, and then turn around and hunt up all the G1 combiner or the little guns and such. Paint all those gold and nobody's going to care. Because as far as work, you know, us as collectors, we buy it because we want it. But some guys out there that are mint in box, oh my God, AFA sealed Black Zerak. I'm sorry, but it's AFA sealed. It's stuck in a container that's supposed to be vacuum sealed. And this thing gets moved around. I'm pretty sure you're not moving it around under a cushion of air.
No, but
so something's going to end up happening to stuff.
If it's in its styrofoam inside the box, more than likely it's not going to break because there's no pressure on it.
Well, yes, that's and no, but there, I've heard of people.
There are stipulations.
You shake it, and it's not good.
It doesn't take
right.
You
shaking.
Don't know, and that's the biggest problem with sealed collectors. I mean, I have some sealed items, but you know, that especially that AFA stuff. Do you imagine? You pay big money to AFA grade your Black Zerak, and you get it in the mail, and it looks perfect, and it's graded a 9 or whatever, and you give it a little shake, and it's like, you know, you can hear it. And you're like, that thing's broken. But they graded it a 9 point whatever. That's another reason why I don't trust AFA, but that's another topic.
Yeah, we'll touch.
I don't believe it unless I can touch it.
We'll talk about
that.
Yeah, we'll talk about AFA and sealed stuff later on in a different
cast. Right, but that just gives you an idea. Don't always believe it. You need to know it. And the only way you can know it is if you grabbed it, you can feel it, you can see it, and you know it. Don't trust someone else.
Hey, because we jumped off a subject there for a second, I'm going to jump off.
Sorry.
Who is ready for a Scramble City video game for the PS3 or PS4? Is it just me, or I mean, who
it's
would like
just
to see
you.
That?
You're weird. You're a weird guy. You know that?
I am not buying a PS4 for a Transformers game.
Well,
sorry.
I'm not going to buy a PS4, but if they brought it out for the PS3 and 4, you know,
If they release on PS3, I'll probably buy the game just because it's Transformers to play for a little bit. But honestly, I don't play games that often anymore. I just don't have time.
You're no fun. No fun. Plasticon is
no fun. But I'm the guy that was like coin-opping like crazy when I was a kid. Guess what? I played tons of games. I probably got more games than half you guys have even heard of.
Oh, don't
the problem
even
is.
Start.
Yeah,
I'm not in the 80s, dude. I mean, I saw video games like crazy. Now, granted, they may
he's
not
seen the first
neat,
one ever.
You know, quality, but I started the shit you're playing now.
He was one of the creators of Pong. Come on.
Shut up. I had that game. It was
I remember
awesome.
Being 4 or 5 playing that game, dude.
Awesome.
Megamus helped write it.
My whole thing is like right now, currently in your house, how many games do you have?
I don't know. How do you know what's in my house?
I don't know. off the top of your head, how many games do you have?
Wait a minute. You're asking me a trick question.
No, I'm not.
Are you saying games that I play or games in general?
Games you play. Video games. This whole video game thing you got.
Okay. Zero. But games in my house, I got a 22-year-old and I have a 12-year-old. We're talking thousands. Thousands. I play no video games. None.
Okay. I only have Transformer Edition games. So.
Dude, I still play Halo. Have a few. Need for Speed daily. I'm on Xbox almost every day, man. My 360.
I don't play console games like I used to. I mean, honestly, the only console system I don't have is a Super NES, and I know that's a sin to some people, but I do have an NES. But my whole thing is, I actually have emulators too. And I've got emulators of every single one of those games, including every Atari game. That's like 3,000 games right there. That's not including discs of PC games I've got in these cabinets over here of probably over 400 to 500 in just discs alone. So
now we're chasing the white mouse that I let loose.
Right. We'll do a game pass later for you guys out there to like your games.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, my whole thing is, like, honestly, I don't really have the time to invest in playing video games that much anymore. I just don't. So it's not an investment for me. My investment is playing with toys and video cameras and software and all that kind of stuff right now.
All I can say is my boy Brian is putting some good links in. Oh, my God.
I'm sure. He's Canadian.
Did you see his latest one?
On him all day.
All I can say is, for those who cannot see, when you get home, you know, hopefully you listen to us while you're driving or whatever, and, you know, this, that, and the other. When you get home, click on these links. It will make you laugh. That's all I'm going to say. Wow. And, oh, by the way, I didn't start any of this, okay? It was not me. All right, so let's go on and talk about the differences between G1, G1.5, and 2 before we wrap up.
All right.
In my opinion, you've got G1, you've got G2, which in my opinion is straight repaints. Now, a lot of people will disagree with this. You're talking straight repaints. What was in between... You get your laser rods, like Electro right here, which is, you know, totally sweet. Your cyber jets, which, you know, they're but okay. You get a lot of your Machine Wars molded stuff. To me, that is G1.5. Those are new characters. G2 are repaints. Now, what do you think? I just set the guideline. You tell me.
Okay. The way I see it is, I mean, we were talking about, you know, the transitions and such. And honestly, I see G1 ends where those transitions, you know, pretty much took off with the G2 logos all over everything. A lot of the things that were released at the tail end of G1 could be mistaken as G2 because of the colors. The entire Predators line, the entire Turbo Masters line,
none of them were under the badge of G2. But go ahead with your with your argument.
Right,
none of them had G2. They had G1.
They never had G1, and then they had G1 logos on them.
1.5. There you go.
Now hold on. Did getting out of the realm of just American toys? Didn't Thunderclash come in G2, or was he actually 1.5 as well?
It was 1.5. That was literally the tail end of Generation 1. That's where it came out. It came out there.
Sure.
It came out right at the end because that's when that's when the transition came over to Hasbro running out of ideas with the original Generation 1 molds, going into actually creating their own molds, and then release them in crazy colors, because you got to think this was like 89, 90 when those were starting to be released. Crazy colors were coming out in toys, so they had to change their color palettes. Most of those, like I said, well, those were all European released. The only reason why we ever got any of those molds, which we didn't see any of the Turbo Masters over in the States, and we saw very... Yeah, we should have. We should have seen more of the Turbo Masters. The only one we got was Prime. But those molds were used in Machine Wars later on, which was after G2 was gone. Right. After Beast Wars was gone. So those were like...
No. Machine Wars came at the same time as Beast Wars.
Yeah,
they
correct.
They started...
Well, they meshed there. It really
was the same.
The lines blurred there a lot during that time.
94, 95. Beast Wars started in 95. He is correct.
They kind of flowed.
And that's why they went ahead and did the Machine War or the Beast Wars Neo. They took Machine Wars lines and incorporated them into what was current. So that's how we had
right.
that.
And the Beast Wars my question Neo had a lot of G2 stuff. Yeah, the auto rollers that were released during Generation 2 that ended up in Beast Wars Neo.
Okay.
Yeah, they did.
They did end up. You're correct.
They were predecessors.
Here's my question, all right? You'll love this because I got them right here.
Okay.
What do you see right here?
I see a G2 logo.
You see a G2 logo on...
It says Generation 2 on it.
It is. It is G2.
On Pyro.
Okay. Do you remember...
And for our viewers out there, I know half of you guys are crying because you wish you had that. Anyway.
Okay. What do we have right here? We have Predator.
Yeah.
Which was also in the same line as Pyro. Guess what? That is Transformers. Shit.
It says Transformers, and that's it.
Transformers. All right. Now, I know people are going to say, well, one's a European, one's not. I'm just telling you, there was a transition where they changed Transformers to G2. And we're not talking the G2 that you know of. Right there.
Right.
Okay. Hence... 1.5. It's as simple as that. Then you have stuff in the middle. Okay? What's that say right there? G2! Okay? That is your Cyberjets.
Right, but those came out like literally right during the same time
They came towards the later part. But then we have your nice Electra.
That's G2.
And it does not say G2 on it.
Yes, it does. Go up. I just saw it.
You're right.
Yeah, in the upper corner.
Side. Yeah. There you go. It is a transition G2. In Japan, I honestly believe that they accelerated what was going to happen in the lines.
Mm-hmm.
So in Japan, they went with G2. In Europe, they went with G2. But then in other countries, they went with straight Transformers.
Right. And the thing is, even with the Predators line, those were never released in the United States.
Yeah,
and
not only that, but the lettering's different, on the books.
Right. Machine Wars, they did. This one was Soundwave in Machine Wars.
Right.
But, and like you said, to the chagrin of a lot of collectors, he never saw U.S. release.
No, he did not.
And the problem is, this little guy right there. What is that?
GPS.
And it will shatter. This is an awesome toy. The whole thing about it's awesome, but that one little bit breaks it. And I'm talking in two separate pieces.
Now,
that is what GPS does.
This is my thing. Okay. I know we're talking about like the lines blurring and such, and we had talked about the GPS issues, but do you think with the future technology, which there is also a new 3D printer that they're releasing on the market that's about $200 here pretty soon.
I know what you're going to say.
Do you think somebody out there with enough engineering skills is going to start going through and finding every piece of gold plastic and start releasing those bits on Shapeways in order to fix anything that has GPS center?
Well, here's my the thing that kills me. Look at this. Remember me talking about him?
Yeah.
That's gold plastic. You ready?
It's not the same. It's different.
You're right. You ready?
Yeah.
Look at this.
Right, because
it's not going to fall apart.
Hasbro
It
doesn't have the metal flake
they
in it.
They fixed the chemical.
They fixed the problem. So what my question to you is, my answer to you is, can someone on Shapeways do it? Abso-frickin-lutely. Hasbro figured out what was wrong. I'm sure you can. And oh, by the way, you ready? It doesn't matter. So, yes, it can be fixed. I love throwing toys around. That's what I do. I just throw them around.
And that's your favorite one to throw around, too. That's about the fifth or sixth time on a podcast, that same style.
Wait a minute. You'll love this. What is this? My favorites.
Jump starter.
It is a four-star
jump starter.
Four-star! It's gone. All right. See, I threw something else.
You know, I'm going to giggle. You know why? Because you can usually find those on eBay for about $20.
And they're sweet because the chrome they're awesome.
You can probably talk to the guy you're talking to right now and probably get one for 3 cents.
Yeah.
He has about 800 of them.
Look at my color. I am better.
He has a really, really like dark. What is that? Almost like a.
It's a bronze.
It's like a bronze. Yeah.
Bronze, and you know what? It's really close to a bronze. Here is more along the lines of a G1 color. Come on, hey, where else can you see this? There you go.
I know, right?
There you go. Can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Awesome. Good stuff.
See, this guy.
I threw a load of toys today. I take the game. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
Now he's going to go pick up Electro and be like, oh, my God, I broke it off camera. Watch
you know
it.
What?
Watch it.
You know what? That was Electro. I wonder if he survived.
Oh, God. He's going to pick it up in the arms and be like in front of his front. And going,
there it is. All right.
Actually, you know, I would be surprised if it did because he had took it out of the package before and it's in a clamshell.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait a minute. All right. I took it out of the box. There's the clamshell.
Oh, God.
There's the clamshell.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
There he is. Now.
Somebody in New Zealand's trying now.
There it is. You ready? Give it a little shake. See? Takara knew what they were talking about when they made these clamshells. They work! I just threw this thing. Once again, first time on YouTube. A throne. G2, GPS. Electro. Survived. It's a car packaging.
That's yes! Now.
We have a first again!
Now you take him out of the packaging and throw him.
No.
See, no.
Look. Anybody with a brain. What we were talking about. I know what it can do.
But
I will gently put it back in the box. And it will stay on my shelf.
All right. Does anybody have anything interesting they purchased this week that they would like to talk about?
Interesting.
I know that's interesting. You showed it off enough.
Actually, I have some, but it's going to be next week. That's actually on topic for this week.
Ooh.
Because I just got my shipping notification from a certain company that my G2 Masterpiece Sideswipe shipped out today.
I saw that.
And so, and it's just so interesting that we went with G2 because that thing looks badass.
Yes, and as soon as I get it in, we'll have plenty of pictures, and I'll show it off to y'all because I should get it. It shipped out today, FedEx. I'll probably get it the day after tomorrow. I may have to try to jump on the Friday show maybe, see if it showed off. But it looks awesome.
Let's see. I'm telling you that you got. I love the Masterpiece line. And while I don't always agree with going with G2 because we got so much G1 that needs to be taken care of, this one is awesome. I love it. I love that you went with the extra spiked wheels, everything.
I agree with you on that, but my whole thing is if Hasbro is so hell-bent on repaints, why not release that Masterpiece Prime with a G2 trailer? Good question.
Well,
go knock on their door and ask them.
Legs would have to be different colors too, but yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh my God, what are they going to do? Oh, look, it's this color blue. Droop, droop, droop. Oh, wait, now it's this color blue. Go for it.
That's all I'm saying, though. They do have to change the color of the legs. Everything else is the same.
They need this guy in Masterpiece. Both versions, Laser Prime and Nemesis.
Now, wait a minute. They need this guy in Masterpiece.
They broke the mold when they broke the mold when they made you, dude. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, they broke the mold in the process of making
it. And threw it away. Yeah, baby. It's all.
Oh, God.
Come on, I had to. You led me. It was like
I did. I led you.
It was a little, you know, the fish in his. Let's see what I can
do. All right.
And you
on the lines of our G2 thing and talking about gold plastic syndrome, some of you guys know that I am working on trying to complete a Monstructor. I had Bird Brain for like the longest time. I have
seen your vlog on that today, actually.
And then and I got Firefly, but I also have Bristleback, which is the GPS syndrome. Oh my God, what the hell. When I got him, the legs were cracked, but the great thing is I had a long ago in a galaxy far away kind of thing, I did a repaint of Dino King, a.k.a. Monstructor, that was a KO, but it came with a little miniature Firefly, which was literally the same size as the original. So what I do, I yank the legs off of that one, and I put them on this one. Now, these are the original GPS legs that are on here after I got them painting the front porch in gold. But I put the legs on there loose enough so that way it won't cause any stress fracture, and I can transform it all day long and not have an issue. So that is a little bit of advice to you guys out there that have Bristleback and you're afraid to get one because, you know, you have to plug the fist into the bottom of this thing when you guys turn them into
Fist his bottom. So,
but you have to fist.
Sick individual.
Listen, Chad, you have to fist the bottom. If you have a problem with that, I don't know what to tell you. All right? We're going to move on.
But anyway.
For those who cannot afford or who maybe want something more, they figure is in scale. They do make a knockoff. And since I love my knockoffs, I'll go ahead and talk about it. Here he is right here. G1 Monstructor. Knockoff. Now, what's the difference? Let me find something to scale. Bigger. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Got my little guy right here. I love this little guy. You know why I like this little guy? Because everyone knows how big he is. That's about the same size as a G1 Monstructor bot.
Yep.
By himself.
Maybe a little taller, not by much.
Maybe. But here you go. Look at this.
Is that Abominus?
There you go. Look at that. He actually is more inclined to it. So what do? You take all these bots. You send them to Jason, who obviously can paint, and say,
paint me up one, bitch, and he'll paint one up for you.
Exactly.
There you go.
Like I said, I did the Dino Queen. I actually have a review done up. I'm going to be doing a Redux review of that one pretty soon because I like Dino King. No, it does not come with the Pretender shells. That's one of the hardest things to find. If you guys do find the original Dino King, though, there is no GPS on that thing. There was no gold plastic on
it
whatsoever.
Whether you go with the Korean knockoff or the Taiwanese knockoff or the original, there is no GPS. So you're correct.
Right. And the great thing about the time, well, I'm not going to say the great thing. The sad thing about both of those.
We'll go with sight.
Is it's extremely hard to find an original, let alone the KO. It's a highly desired one, and it's very hard to find. Now, Monstructor, you're going to find a lot of him floating around. But the bad thing about it is you have Bristleback that's got GPS, and you also have Slog that's got GPS.
And, this guy right here.
Right. It's this guy the center, right here. It's the center guy as
and
well.
And this guy right here. Now, the funny thing is, this knockoff, look at that. Can you see
it?
It's gold. It's just painted. It's just painted.
It's painted gold. But when I did my KO.
There he goes. He fell apart, by the way.
You know, it might fall apart, but
it won't
break. Still the quality of the one I bought, the actual one I had, it almost felt like play school quality plastic. Like literally, like I can take this thing and beat it on the desk and it's not gonna crack and it will withstand and hold up. Which is a great thing about the plastic quality of that particular knockoff.
Right. Just to
it's
let you know.
It's very difficult to find, though, I'll tell you guys. It's hard to find.
Just to let you know, while I was messing around with it, look at this. And it fell all the way to the ground. Here's the rest of it. And here's the other piece. Now, while they talk, I'll put it back together, and you're going to see it didn't break. It just fell apart.
No, and the thing is, with the joint system on that particular toy, the joint system is the same that the original has. It's just slightly bigger.
Absolutely.
And it actually scales better with your G1 combiners.
Yes.
Monstructor himself is actually shorter than your Universe Devastator or Superion that a lot of you guys have had, or if any of you guys happen to have Six-Liner
or
any of the others.
Look. It didn't break. Mm-hmm. It fell apart. But it's all together. And this thing is, it's not, 25? You can find it anywhere from 25 to maybe $50. And there you go.
Usually. But it depends on if you find it. Wait a minute.
Now that I've sanctioned it, it's going to go up 32%. So I do expect my residuals. just saying it now. All right. I expect it.
Hey, Jason, speaking of Play School, they've decided for the Age of Extinction toys, they're going to use all Play School designs and crappy plastic to make all those this year. So
yeah, I noticed. We plugged all that on the last cast and sat there and complained about the quality of the plastic coming off of those. And I'm kind of wondering, because, you know, that – Grimlock looks like it's kind of a coppery colored plastic. I hope it suffers from GPS in 10 years and just disintegrates. Look, it transformed from this to this. Oh, I just snapped the entire thing in half.
I hope it turned to powder.
Yes, it has powder mode.
I hope it only takes taking it out of the box in order for that to happen.
Honestly, like I said, as rough as kids are, I don't see that lasting. I mean, I understand GPS, you know, being an issue, but you think about it, like half these toys right here, I mean, most of these you will find sometimes when you go to conventions, like literally thrown in a bin. And you'll pick it out and be like, there's nothing wrong with it. It might be maybe a little scratched up.
But by the way,
they hold together.
Plasticon. We have a request. We have a request. Brian would like for you to paint up an Armada Sideswipe in pink. And as he puts it, with Minicon fluffers. Which to me means that you can just ad lib all you want.
Oh my God.
And it says right here, someone please let know on cast if you can. So he really wants it. Do it.
Okay.
You can do it.
Then I will hunt one up and I will do it.
There you go.
The side swipe. Is that the red? Is that the red one?
That's the blue one, isn't it?
No, that's
not armor. It's that blue train wreck of a robot that literally every gimmick ruins the robot.
Okay, we'll go with that. And we'll go with that. Anyway.
And it's not G2 related.
Just so Brian knows, I'm looking out for you, brother. Okay, I'll make him happen. We'll do it. So we got it. We got you covered.
I'll tell you what. Somebody donate me one, and I'll do it.
If I had one, I'd give it to you. I don't even know if I have one, but if I do, yeah, it's yours.
I don't have
donations one. Are welcome.
It's done.
Armada. I haven't owned Armada in about. Oh,
it's also 15 what years. Was it? Run Amok or Ramp?
Man. Yeah, it was Run Amok. Yeah,
Run Amok was but, also but the same. But the thing
is people have to also understand it's about passing it along and doing the right thing. I mean, it, we're all here. We have a common, God, I hate to say that we have a common goal that we like. Things that we like, you know, our little collection or whatever. Let's help each other out.
You're absolutely right. Do the right thing. Throw all your Armada toys in the trash now. Get rid of them all. Along with the Energon stuff, too. Throw it away. You
know, I'm looking, and the only thing I have is Unicron. I think that's it.
That is the only good mold that came out of the whole trifecta.
And I have I actually have the black one. I don't think he's. Well, that's
Primus Energon. Is pretty good, so, man.
Yeah, I like Primus.
I didn't like Primus.
I've got Primus is actually Primus is actually just a remold and a retool of that same character. I mean, there's a lot missing, but he's the exact same mold.
Of who?
So, of Unicron.
No, he's completely mold. Different,
he's,
man.
No, he's a retool. He's a retool.
I don't see the retool.
No. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Wait a minute. Discuss. All right, Jason, you and I step back.
I just don't see it, man. This is you two.
That's all you. Go. Wait a minute. You ready?
Hold on. Let me go grab him off the shelf real quick, man.
Here he goes. Fight. Go.
They came out with three versions of that same mold. It's, three different versions, not just repaints. Of Unicron, but they came out with three versions of that mold. The Death Star Darth Vader, Primus, and Unicron. All the same mold. Just
Have you ever owned Primus?
Just out of curiosity? I've owned every Transformer toy that they ever made up until about 4 years.
Hang on, let me go get them off the shelf here.
I mean, I don't see the relation because I have messed with all three. I don't see the relation.
They're all just retools.
I don't see retool anywhere there, man. That's the thing. I see where maybe they might have took an idea from one to the other, like the rotating bits that are on the legs of both. You know, like it's like a quarter of the planet stuck to each leg. But that's about the only thing I see that they reused. I don't see anything else. There's no head pop-up gimmick. The entire chest is completely different.
Yeah, it's so you're trying to tell me that Unicron here is this guy, which I got to transform, is actually a remold.
Retool, man. It's a complete retool.
Then it's a whole new Transformer, dude. It's not a retool. I mean, I don't see anything that they would have used. I mean, nothing. It don't even transform the same way.
I mean, it's not just that. I mean, the only thing I saw that's similar between the two is the kibble that's on the legs.
But that's kind of grabbing right there, man, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I just don't see it.
A planet on each leg, but I mean, look at the size of Unicron's feet compared to Primus's. Are like not even like almost non-existent.
No, they're tiny. I'm transforming them right now so we can. It's been a while since I've had this guy in robot mode. I like him in planet mode.
And honestly, Primus is a lot easier to transform than Unicron.
Yeah, he's smaller too. He's not as big as Unicron is. Nowhere near it. Same size as Unicron.
So, did we figure out how Primus is this is a remold of Unicron, even though they're nothing alike?
Yeah, absolutely nothing alike. I don't see it.
But you
I
know,
don't see reuse. The
I give my boy anywhere in there. Chad props with trying.
He was grabbing, dude. Getting I mean, seriously.
I mean, if he sees like maybe a few bits. I can see maybe like joints.
No. I wouldn't even give
barely
him
barely any of that.
Sorry, Chad, but I don't see the distinction between the two other than the size. Yeah. Their size is about the same. Other than if you want to do that, why not put in that Starscream piece of shit with the little crown? You can put that in there too. Go ahead.
That's a piece of shit.
Hey, I got him also sitting on the shelf.
Oh, he likes it.
I like it. I enjoy it. I like that Starscream.
What is that thing?
I always thought it was stupid until you saw the show, and he actually got that big. I mean, that was him. So then you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Right, but my whole thing's like, it's a blown up version of a deluxe mold, is it?
It is, but
it's like, I mean, it's cool, but good. Why? I mean, it's like, okay, let's just take Optimus Prime and make him that big too. You know,
they didn't. Right? Well, they didn't add any gimmicks to him at all. They didn't add any extra stuff.
It is the same.
And I don't know where.
It's the same toy. It literally makes like what does it have like the same sounds and everything. It's retarded.
Yeah. But so all right,
the price point.
I think we're getting close to time.
Well, here's a headless Primus. Because I don't have the Omega key. I can't find it to pull his head out at the moment.
Stick your finger in there and shove it up.
So
stick your finger in there and shove it up. Once again, Plasticon.
Fingers are too big,
advice,
dude.
Advice, and I quote, stick it in with your finger. So on that note, I did want to plug one little thing, and since we're talking about fingers and holes, I say plug. But anyway, when we talk about G2, you have a lot of different references and things that you can go to. One of the books that I found that was beneficial for myself was this one, The Cybertronian, The Unofficial Transformers Recognition Guide, Volume 6. Volume 6 deals nothing but G2. And it talks about some of the things that we did and a lot more with variations and such. It is a very good book. So I would highly recommend picking that one up as well as all the others. I've actually found problems with the Galvatron one. This one seems to be pretty good. But, you know, pick the one that you like. Pick the one that tells you what you want to know. So, there you go. And this one actually goes past this one to Beast Wars and such. So, very good read. A lot of interesting information with these books.
Hey, by the way, Jason, did you need the trans manual too?
I've got it. I need volume one. I need volume one and volume three, I believe. If I think these are three.
Let me look at home. I think I may have one.
Oh, sweet. Help me out. I need one.
There you go.
I need these things.
You know, those books, like I said before, make sure you know what you're getting into. It, you know, whether it be, you know, knockoffs, G2 stuff. G2 stuff.
Remolded Unicron.
Whatever. Remolded. It doesn't matter. Make sure you do your research. Know what you're getting into and know what it's worth so you can save your money. And there's a lot of resources out there. We're trying to expand on our resources to help everyone, because ultimately what it's about is it's a community of Transformers helping each other out, and no one wants to spend more money than what it's worth. So there you go.
It's very true. Do that.
Well, like I said, you guys go check out the Generation 2 Facebook page I created. Check out tftalk.net, and also check out our Facebook page at
It's something. It's something, right? I can't remember. It's something, something.
TFYLP.
It's something, sorry. Something.
I can never get that to roll off my tongue the right way.
TFYLP?
That's what she said, anyway.
Yeah!
Did you plug the sponsor? Anyway. Did you plug our
yes,
sponsor?
Yes, I always plug it at the very beginning. Very beginning.
CapturePrey.com?
Yes. CapturePrey.com. Great service, great prices.
Great toys.
Great people.
CapturePrey.com. Check them out for all your third-party
That's
needs.
That's where I get all my stuff.
Third-party stuffs.
I was going to say shit, but I'll go with stuff.
Third-party stuffs there.
That's right.
But anyhow, I want to thank you guys for showing up. Magnus, Unicron.
My pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
And I want to thank our listeners and you guys. Our support. We thank every one of you guys, and catch us next Friday at 8 o'clock, and we will be on YouTube as well as the podcast on iTunes. So we will catch you guys later, and you guys have a good night. And this is TFYLP signing off. Peace out, you guys.
Word.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.